If I were to ask you to assess your degree of happiness, what would it be? I bet you would say to me, I could be happier. You see, if only I hadn't, or if only they hadn't, then I know that I would have been happier. You see, it's something in my past that keeps me from being happy. Today, we're going to look at the God that can turn that around. Restoration. If we could just magically, in a sense, wave a wand and restore life to what it was without the past, restore life to our dreams, if they hadn't been shattered, wouldn't it be so much better? Oh, precious one, listen, life is life. It is reality. And this week, what you and I are going to do is we are going to take an awesome look at God. You know, sometimes life can be so depressing. Our sins and our failures, just overwhelming. Our future seems bleak and discouraging and hopeless. And what our mind does is our mind takes us to the dark recesses where there's pain and hurt and regret. And when our mind goes there, life seems so hopeless. We feel like we're irreversibly ruined. It's over, it's blown, there's no recovery. And I want you to know that is not true. And you're going to see it as we open God's word this week, as we get in Jeremiah chapter 30 and 31. And I just want you to know that many times what happens when life looks so irreversibly ruined, it's because there is something that happened in the past, something that we did or that was done to us, something went awry, something took us off course, something took us away from happiness. And what you're going to see is you're going to see the God that restores, the God that restores. Now, you're going to see that there is an again. And this is a word that is used over and over when we get to chapter 31. So we're not going to get there today, but there is an again. And there is a way to recover. There is a way to restoration. And I will tell you why. Because God is God. Because God loves us with an everlasting love. And not only that, but because God has formed a new covenant. This week, when we get to Jeremiah chapter 31, we're going to look at the crown jewel of truth in the book of Jeremiah. We're going to look at the very first mention of the new covenant, and it will revolutionize your life if you'll stick with me. Now, what we're going to do is, you know, we can only take so much each day, and we're going to move verse by verse through these two chapters, but I want you to know where we're going. And by the way, if you haven't gone to preceptsforlife.com, then you need to go there, preceptsforlife.com, and you need to download the study guide that goes with this. It is my passion that you would learn how to discover truth for yourself so that you would be able to stand firm, so that you would be steadfast, immovable, and so healthy and so whole and so confident with God that you don't turn to the right or the left, but that you are steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your life is not in vain, that your life has a very great purpose. All right. Now, what I want us to do is I want us to go to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. You say, what happened in Jeremiah chapter 29? Well, you know what? You just need to go to the archives of this and look at it, or you need to get to the study guide and catch up with us, but always do the work of the chapter that we're on. One of the things that we saw in chapter 29 is this famous verse that everybody just absolutely loves. And it is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and I hope. And when he says that, he is saying also to Israel, if you will seek for me and if you will search for me with all your heart, I'll be found by you. I'll be found by you. And you know what? He says, and I will restore your fortunes. You say, that's right. It does say that, but it's saying it to Israel. And I am so proud of you. Because it is saying it to Israel. But the things that were written beforehand are also for our instruction. They're also for our encouragement upon whom the end of the ages has come. So yes, this was way back there. When you look at Jeremiah and you go and you just, once again, what I want you to do is I just want you to draw a straight line. Draw a straight line on a piece of paper, unless you're driving your car. Okay. So draw a straight line on a piece of paper. And let me just take you on that straight line and put about in the center of it a red cross. All right, that red cross represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, okay? And when we look at that, we're living on the other side of the cross. Okay, so we're living to the right of that cross. Yes, granted that we're back here studying in the Old Testament. And we're studying in the Old Testament, and the year might be around now 593, 597 BC. And so we're looking at this time frame. In 586 BC, Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. The people, most of them, are going to be taken into exile. Others are going to be left in the land. But they, from that point on, Israel is going to be ruled by the Gentiles. Okay? So this is the time frame that we're looking at. All right, now what happens is he is telling them, yes, I'm going to judge you. Yes, 586 BC is coming. It doesn't have to come. The destruction doesn't have to come. If you'll listen to me, if you'll believe me, if you'll repent, if you'll return, if you'll embrace my truth, it doesn't have to come. Because he gives them a chance to what we call repent, have a change of mind, takes you in a different direction. So he's giving them a chance for that. But you and I know history. And we know if you've read Jeremiah before, you know the end of Jeremiah is not so hot. And so what God is doing is he is telling them between the time of Jeremiah chapter 30 and the time of Jeremiah chapter 586 BC, he is telling them, look, my plans for you are to give you a future and to give you a hope. Yes, I'm going to chasten you. Yes, I'm going to deal with you. But I want you to know that's not the ultimate end. Now, as I say that, then I want to bring it to your life. Where are you? Are you under the chastening hand of God? Has he got you in, can you hear the spanking? Has he got you in the divine woodshed? Is he dealing with you? Is he chastening you? If he's chastening you, that chastening that you are going through is so that you can have a future. It is so that you can have hope. And so if you'll stick with me, you'll get the principles as we look at it. So Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 1. The word of the Lord, which came to Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. He says, write all the words that I have spoken to you in a book. Jeremiah, I want you to sit down. I don't want you to go to the temple and talk to the people. I don't want you to go to the courtyard and talk to the people. I don't want you to go to the palace and talk to the king. Jeremiah, sit down and write these words in a book. Now listen, the minute that you write something down, it has a lasting value as long as what you have written still exists. And so he's saying, I want you to write this down. This is very, very important. And this is what he says. For behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I, God, will restore the fortunes of my people. And then now watch what he does. Israel and Judah. If you look at your map that you downloaded, you can see that Israel is the northern kingdom. And you go from Dan all the way down into Samaria and to Bethel and Bethel, the house of God. And that was the name of that city. And that's where the northern kingdom was. Below that, south of that, is the southern kingdom of Judah. And so what he's saying, I mean, the northern kingdom went into captivity in 722 B.C. It's now about 593, 597, 593 B.C. So the northern kingdom, it looks like they went into captivity under the Assyrians and they're gone forever. And he's saying, no. He's saying, no. I'm going to restore the fortunes of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And you know what else he's saying? He's saying to you today, if you will listen to me, if you will listen to me, I will bring you to a new level of contentment. Not that he's going to make you wealthy as you hear from so many, but I will make you more content. We'll talk about it more in just a minute. Just closed with a wonderful promise. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3, I will restore the fortunes of Israel and of Judah. And then right after that, in chapter 30, verse 4, he's going to tell about a time of Jacob's trouble. My goodness, watch what he says in verse 4. Now these are the words which the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. Israel, remember, is gone. It's in captivity. And yet he's talking future. He's talking future. He's talking about Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom. Now watch what he says. Thus says the Lord, I have heard a sound of terror, of dread, and there is no peace. You say, I can understand. I don't have any peace right now. I'm scared. I'm scared about the future. I'm frightened by what's happening in our nation. I'm frightened with what's happening in our world, and I wonder where we're headed and how we're ever going to survive. Well, this is what he's saying. I've heard the sound of terror and of dread, and there is no peace. Ask now, can a man, a male, give birth? Why do I see a man with his hands on his loins like a woman giving birth? Why do I see a man in such agony? Now he's moved from restoring their fortunes to now a man that's in agony, that is acting like a woman in the birthing stage in those days, that is standing there groaning, gripping her thighs and about to drop or trying to drop a baby. And this is what he says. He says, why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in childbirth? And why have all faces turned pale? Why are those people standing there and there is no color in their face? What's happening? And then he says, alas, alas, for the day is great. He says, there is none like it. I mean, this is alas, this is horror. The day is great. There is none like it. It is the time of Jacob's distress. Now, who is Jacob? Do you remember the story of a man by the name of Jacob that wrestled with the angel of God and how he walked away kind of like with a broken hip? Do you remember that was the day that God changed Jacob's name to Israel and made him the father of the 12 tribes of Israel? And so when he's talking Jacob, he's talking Israel. Now the question is, when is he talking? Well, what I want you to do is I want you to go back to that line that you drew on a piece of paper, okay? And I want you to remember that about halfway in between there, we have the cross. Although chronologically it doesn't fit, what I want you to do is I want you to have enough room to write on the right of your line, okay, as you look at that you look at the right of your line and you're going to come close to the end. And this is what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a verbal description of something that you will get in your study guide, and then you'll have to fill it out. But at the very end of the line, the very edge of the paper, write NHNE. And that means new heaven and new earth. Okay? And then down at the bottom of the line, I want you to put a perpendicular line, and in between two lines, I want you to write 1,000. Okay? So that's 1,000 years when God is going to rule on the face of this earth. Now, we're not going to look at that yet. We'll be looking at that in our next program. But before that, just before that, I want you to draw another perpendicular line ways away, and then a tiny line in between those two. Does this sound confusing? I hope you have your study guide. All right, and then you're going to write 3 1/2. If you've been around me and you've heard me teach prophecy, then you know that that is the tribulation period, and it's 3.5 years and 3.5 years. This is the way it is typically taught. Okay, now he is talking about the time of Jacob's distress. He's talking about the time when Israel is going to be in great torment, so much so that what they're saying is, why are these men grabbing their thighs and acting like they're giving birth to a child? Why are they in such distress? Well, they're in distress because God, before he restores them, which will be during that 1,000-year reign, before he restores them, before they live in peace, before they live on their land and are happy in that, there is going to come a time of Jacob's distress. All right, now let me read to you a little bit more. It shall come about on that day. On that day, on the time of Jacob's distress, declares the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke off their neck and will tear off their bonds, and strangers will no longer make them slaves. But they, speaking of Jacob, will serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. What he's just let you know is he's let you know that there is a future event. A future event that there is never, up to this time, there's never been anything like it. There never will be again. We're going to delve into it in our next program. But it is a time of great tribulation. It is a time of agony. It is a time of distress. You say, you started this program off with hope. That's right. But I want you to know that sometimes before hope, there is distress. I mean, you know it. You're going through it. You've been through it. But you have to know, hey, there's another side to this. The pain is not the end. The distress is not the end. Being overwhelmed with life is not the end, if you know the God who is making the promises and who is over all of this. And so he's saying right now that there's going to be a time of Jacob's distress, but at the end of that, I am going to break the yoke off of the nations of Israel. They're never going to be telling Israel, give back the land, do this, do that, because Israel is going to be tops on the chart when it comes to the nations. And he is telling them also that I am going to raise up the Lord your God, and I am going to raise up David, and you are going to live in peace. It's awesome. Awesome. He says they will serve the Lord their God and David, whom I will raise up for them. And then his next words are this: fear not. Fear not. What you're going to see this week is so absolutely exciting. And you're going to find the clue that keeps you from living in fear and gives you a future and a hope.
Do you love Kay Arthur's teaching? Would you like to get up to speed on all of Precept Ministries' news and events? Join us on Facebook by visiting precept.org/Facebook. Receive daily biblical encouragement, special messages from Kay, updates on new products, event announcements, and get connected with others seeking the truth from God's Word.
See you on Facebook.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Oh, precious one, do you know how much I enjoy being your teacher? Do you know what a privilege I count it that I can open the Word of God with you and take you through a book of the Bible, verse by verse and chapter by chapter, until eventually, when that series is finished, I have read to you the whole book of Isaiah, the whole book of Jeremiah, the whole book of whatever we have studied together. And you have listened to the very words of God, not when I'm speaking, but when I'm quoting scripture, when I'm reading the scripture, you are hearing directly from heaven. Isn't that awesome? Because this book is not an ordinary book. It's God's book. Now, why am I telling you all that? Because life can in a sense overtake us. Life can be overwhelming. Life can be discouraging. We look at the situation that we're in and we hate it. We look at what was done to us. We're crippled. We look at the mistakes that we made and we're a failure. And we're never going to be anything but a failure. We have voices coming to us, thoughts coming in our mind. We don't recognize that it's the devil and he's a murderer and he's a liar from the beginning. And he is a destroyer and he is a deceiver. And it cripples us. It cripples us until we open the book. And then when we open the book, and we read the words of the book, we're reading truth. What is your precept for life today? Your precept for life today is this, that no matter what you are enduring or going through or wrestling with or visiting in your mind in those dark recesses, if you will come to this book and you will believe on Jesus Christ, then God will look at you and say, I know the thoughts that I have for you. I am going to restore you. He's in the restoration business. I'm going to take all of that that you hate and that is so ugly, and I am going to redeem it. I am going to buy it back. I am going to use it, and I am going to set you free to be everything that you need to be. If you'll just believe me. If you will just simply cling to me, as Jeremiah says, as the waistband clings to the waist of a man, I will make you a man, a woman, for honor and glory.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.